Hello and welcome to Our Site as we return to our Back to the Bible series. And we have come now to an introduction to the Gospel according to Luke. Our title this morning, Meet Dr. Luke. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. This is an amazing Gospel. How we thank the Lord for it. So if you have your Bible handy, please turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4 and then chapter 2. Verses 41 to 52, and then chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. So don't worry to remember that, but if you have a Bible with you, I'll mention the passages as we go along, just to give us a bit of a sweep of what Luke is saying. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Luke says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Then if you'll move to chapter 2, and verse 41 to verse 52, chapter 2, and verse 41. "Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' Jesus asked. 'Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Then chapter 4 and verse 14. "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we meet Dr. Luke. Yes, meet one who is perhaps the best and most accomplished writer of the New Testament documents. In fact, include the Old Testament also in the list. Luke, the author of this gospel that bears his name, as well as the book of Acts. Truth be known, we learn a lot more about Luke in Acts than we do in his gospel. Luke, the beloved physician, who became an intimate friend, fellow traveler, and faithful to the very end, fellow worker with the great theologian, the greatest theologian of all time, the Apostle Paul. This is what is written of Luke in a prologue to his gospel that was written in about AD 170. I quote, Luke was born in Antioch of Syria, a physician by profession. He was a disciple of the apostles and later accompanied Paul until the latter's martyrdom. He served the Lord without distraction and without blame, having neither wife nor children, and at the age of 84 in Boeotia, full of the Holy Spirit, he died. There were already Gospels previously in existence that according to Matthew in Judea and that according to Mark in Italy, Luke, moved by the Holy Spirit, composed the whole of this Gospel in the regions around Achaia, feeling it necessary to expound to the Gentile believers the accurate account of the truth, not perverted by Jewish fables or vain and heretical imaginations. End of quote. So we know that Luke was of a Gentile descent, a former inhabitant of Syrian Antioch, studied medicine and became a doctor by profession. That's easy to see when you look at some of these descriptions of illnesses that are mentioned in his writings. His language and terminology is medically tinted when he describes, for example, Peter's mother-in-law's illness in Luke 6, verse 38. Mark calls it a fever. Doctors at the time distinguished between a slight fever and a great fever. Luke says she had a great fever. In other words, it was a serious fever. In chapter 5 and verse 12, he describes the leper as full of leprosy, not just as Mark and Matthew, a leprous man. Same with the descriptions of the cripple in Luke chapter 13, the hemorrhaging woman of Luke chapter 8, the paralytic in Acts chapter 9, even the binding up of the broken ship in Acts chapter 27. Luke's description of the birth of Jesus and his circumcision also betray his medical knowledge and background. But Luke was more than a doctor. You will recall that Antioch in Syria was the place where the disciples of Jesus were first given the name Christian, or Christ ones, probably as a derogatory description by their enemies. Now, I like to think it was because they were imitators of Jesus and revealed a Christ-like character. Anyway, that was Luke's hometown. Someone called it the Parisian city of the ancient world. It was full of everything and everyone, good and bad. And there in Syrian Antioch, Luke the physician became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was there that the redemptive mission of Jesus took on a whole new impetus. That story is described in detail by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and verse 1, where it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The first person plural, we, that occurs from chapter 16 of Acts onwards, shows that Luke became a traveling companion with the Apostle Paul from his second missionary journey, and was with him on the perilous last sea voyage to Rome, where John Mark would have been with him on occasions too, there in Rome, as we see from Colossians 4 and Philemon verse 24. So Luke was well placed as a Gentile to show through his writing how the gospel spread from Jerusalem to Rome, the capital city of the empire, and beyond. Which brings us to say next that Luke stands out as the most accomplished writer and historian of all the people the Holy Spirit chose to give us books that make up our divine history, our divine library, the Bible. Luke writes in Greek that ranks among the best Hellenistic writers of the time. His Greek is top-notch. His vocabulary and linguistic style are superb. As a historian, he is ranked among the finest of all time. And right here we notice there is a distinctive difference to the other Gospels in their intention. Both Luke's works are a defense, both Luke and Acts are a defense of the person and work of Jesus Christ and his church. Written to a Greek high-standing nobleman, probably a person of high standing anyway, obviously, and his name was Theophilus. His name means God, Theos, friend, Philos, God's friend, or friend of God. Luke's primary objective is to provide 100% accurate account of Jesus, from his birth to his ascension. And then in part two, the book of Acts, the accurate account of the birth and growth of the Christian church. In part one, the gospel, his research has been meticulous, like a doctor or a lawyer would examine the evidence. And in part two, the Acts, he has applied the same diligence. Luke thus guarantees the absolute certainty of the facts about Jesus, the gospel of salvation, and the ongoing mission of Jesus through his church. These works are invaluable to the Christian church. Jesus is the divine physician who has come to seek and to save what was lost. So Luke is not only a Gentile, a physician, a traveler, a researcher, a writer, a historian, he is an evangelist and a missioner par excellence. Maybe there's another element here. As we said last Sunday, Paul ends up in Rome, where his case is tried and he's not immediately found guilty of anything worthy of the death sentence, like Jesus. And he's put rather under kind of house arrest in Rome. He's allowed to receive friends and visitors. Was Luke, the conscientious researcher and factual evidence man, perhaps, at Paul's defense when his case was brought in Rome? Maybe Luke, being a Gentile, was able to present the facts regarding the innocence of this Jewish follower of Jesus, the Apostle Paul. It's an interesting possibility, isn't it? Luke presents to Theophilus first-hand testimony, eyewitness accounts he has meticulously researched, the kind of factual documents that would be presented in a court of law. Nobody had Paul's back like Luke at an historic moment when Christianity was on trial in the capital of the empire. As such, too, Luke's writings provide an invaluable record of the history of mission, the inauguration and continuation of Jesus' ministry. Luke's gospel giving the detail of Jesus' earthly ministry, and Acts, the ministry of the heavenly Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit, working through the gospel and the church. Time and again we see how much Luke meant to the Apostle Paul. Listen to his remarks as he closes his second letter to his young son in the faith, Timothy. If you'd like to turn to that in your Bible, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verse 9 to the first part of 11. This is what Paul says in his letter to Timothy here. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. It's winter. Paul has been betrayed by some, deserted by others, but Luke is with him, and the Lord stands by him. Allow me to highlight 2 points before we close out our introduction to Luke's good news about Jesus for the Gentile world. Point one, Luke's carefully selected content that you don't just find in the other three Gospels. And then point two, Luke's unmistakable emphases. Look at point one with me for a moment, the content that is unique in Luke's gospel. Little yet important details about the birth of Jesus. Luke traces Jesus' genealogy back to Adam, not Abraham. He's writing primarily to Gentiles. And Matthew, of course, as we noticed in our introduction to Matthew, Matthew was writing predominantly to Jews. He traces the genealogy of Jesus back to Abraham. Luke gives little details about the conception and delivery of the baby Jesus, that is, wrapped in swaddling cloths. He also indicates the likely month of Jesus' birth in mentioning Zechariah the priest from the tribe of Abijah. Now, this means Zechariah would have served in the fourth month of the Jewish calendar in the temple in Jerusalem, the month that his wife Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptizer, 6 months before the Virgin Mary's conception. Now, if you work that out, 9 months later, Jesus was born. So 6 months plus 9 months takes you to 15 months, which would be then the seventh month of the following year, the year after John the Baptizer, the cousin of Jesus, was born. That calculation would place the birth of Jesus at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. To us, in our calendar, late September or early October. As J.D. Pawson points out, the Jews expected Messiah to come and at Tabernacles, and they still do today. It also fits in with what John the Apostle says in his letter, chapter 1 and verse 4, that the Word, Jesus, became flesh, that is, took upon our humanity, and, literally in the Greek word he uses, tabernacled among us for a while. Here's another fact unique in Luke's Gospel. At the age of 12, that is, bar mitzvah, which means able to do good deeds, Jesus was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. In Jewish reckoning, up to 12 years of age, Jesus was just a lad under parental authority. But at 12 years of age, after the bar mitzvah, that changed and he became responsible for his own actions. Jesus reaches the age where he is responsible for his own behavior. What does he do? Luke tells us he stays behind and stuns the teachers of the Jewish law with his Bible knowledge. His mom thought he was with dad. His dad thought he was with mom. They journeyed a day before they even realized he wasn't with them. After a search, and in fact, 3 days later, they found him in Jerusalem. There he was in the temple courts. And when he was questioned why he was there, he said, "Shouldn't I be about my father's business?" What a lovely detail. Luke has 9 carefully selected parables that are not in Mark or Matthew. Maybe we'll look at a few of them before we move on to John's Gospel. Perhaps the most important detail that is unique to Luke is the double account of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke's Gospel ends with that, and the Acts, which he writes, begins with it, the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Luke wants us to make sure that we don't miss the significance of the ascension of Jesus more than the other Gospel writers. The event that ends Jesus' earthly ministry and begins his heavenly ministry, carried out by his followers in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Luke that gives us the factual account of the ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. Luke's special interest in all kinds of people is also fascinating, like a good doctor, like a really good investigator. Luke shows his interest in not just Jews, but Samaritans, who are considered half-Jews, Gentiles, who are definitely non-Jews, outcasts of society. Luke is interested in the poor, the diseased, women, people of ill repute, and sinners, as they're called in the Gospels. You have to love Luke for his insightful and compassionate heart that comes through again and again. He's a doctor who really cares about people of every culture and condition. Hey, I like this guy. You may have guessed that by now. Point number two, and with this I'll close our introduction, Luke's unmistakable emphases. Of all the gospel writers, Luke gives us the most precious and comprehensive teaching about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. From the conception, birth, and baptism of the Lord Jesus, to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the birth and growth of the church, to Luke, the Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine to be believed in, but he describes the Holy Spirit. He shows us what the work of the Holy Spirit of God looks like. No other writer in the New Testament gives the same emphasis as Luke, and it's invaluable. In fact, it's wonderful. True disciples of Jesus are clothed with power from on high. Luke also emphasizes the vitally important ministry of angels. These created spirit beings who are messengers to carry out the will of God. The paramount ministry of prayer is something that Luke highlights in his writings. And then the global importance of the gospel, the Great Commission, taking the gospel of salvation to all nations. Luke is very, very careful and very, very sure in wanting us to know that salvation, the salvation that is wrought by God through Jesus Christ, his Son, and his death, resurrection, and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, this salvation, this restoration of our broken relationship with God, to Luke the physician, is something to be celebrated, both for prodigal saints as well as prodigal sinners. Joy, joy, joy. The mission of Jesus is one of indescribable joy. Salvation produces unmistakable joy, and Luke emphasizes that. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15:10. The Father says we have to celebrate and be glad when the dead come alive and when the lost are found. Luke 15:32. May God help us then to realize just how good the good news really is. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you today for the way in which, by your Holy Spirit, you have selected about 40 different writers under the authorship of the Holy Spirit of God, under his inspiration to give to us the whole Bible. We thank you this morning for Luke. We thank you for his life, work, and witness. We thank you for this amazing physician who became such a faithful follower of Jesus and the apostles, the one who stood by the apostle Paul in Rome to the very end, the one who researched so diligently, so carefully, the Christ event, everything in detail, from the birth of Jesus to his death, resurrection, and ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the Christian Church, and the advance of the mission of Jesus, and the fact that Jesus has left behind the same work that we are to continue, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you today for these invaluable writings of Luke the physician. Help us to realize day by day how good the good news really is, and to rejoice always in Jesus Christ our Redeemer. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
God is our only confidence, that our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command, and what will keep us till the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope and life and death.
What truth can calm the troubled soul?
Christ, He lives.
And what reward will heaven bring?